Not a lot of pastors have the privilege of following two comedians.
Consider the source.
We are going to be starting a new study this afternoon. It may go for a few weeks, and we may take breaks from time to time as we go through it. But I want you to begin by opening your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. And this series was triggered by this passage of Scripture that I had for my devotional time. Luke, chapter 24. And we're going to cut into the chapter at verse number 25. It's the road to Emmaus. Jesus is walking with his disciples. They don't know it's him. And in verse 25 it says, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Imagine those words coming from the lips of our Lord, walking and talking with you. Him declaring that you are a fool and slow of heart to believe. Now, I want you to understand what the phrases here are talking about. In the Greek here, he talked about fools here is not understanding. You're not being intelligible about what I'm sharing with you. This phrase slow of heart means that you are dull and inactive in your thinking. You're slow to apprehend what I'm teaching or speaking. And he says that you are fools and slow to heart to believe. The word believe here means to think that what I'm telling you is the truth. You are not apprehending it. So with that in mind, he's talking and he says unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Look what he says, all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Now watch verse 27. And beginning at Moses and how many of the prophets? All the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He goes on in verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened, look what it says, and while he opened the scriptures. This is an incredible statement that verse 27 declares, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus began as he's walking. He took them, by the way, all they had was Old Testament scriptures. And as he's walking with them, he takes them all the way back to Moses, which means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He takes them back to the books of the Pentateuch, the five books of the law. And then it says, how many of the prophets? All of them. Every single, how many books are there in the Old Testament?
39.
I believe he shared with them something from every single book of the Old Testament concerning himself, because he said all the prophets. From every book we can go through and find out that each of those books has something to say about Jesus Christ. Another passage, if you flip over, is to John chapter 5. Flip over there if you would. And in John chapter 5, John says something that's very intriguing. In verse number 39, he challenges the people to search the scriptures. For in them ye think you have eternal life. And what does Jesus say? They are they which testify of me. John later writes in John chapter 16, he says, howbeit, verse 13 and 14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Why? For he shall receive of mine and will show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit has been dwelling within the believers. The Holy Spirit's job is now to reveal to us the scriptures. And Jesus says you can go all the way back to Genesis, right straight through to the book of Malachi, and you'll find something about me. The purpose of this study, as I was going over it, is to see if we could find out more about Jesus that we have been missing for years. I think of the song that I began to think of, more about Jesus would I what?
No.
More of his riches to others show. In searching the scriptures, we're going to point out some very specific prophecies about Jesus. By the way, some of them are going to be very familiar with you. I always make a binder when I'm doing a series. So I have it, Christ in the Old Testament, and I have that verse down here, and I have Abraham offering Isaac, which is a type of Christ, correct? So there's going to be some of these teachings, some of these insights that we're going to see that we are all too familiar with. We're going to think about some of the things that was said in the Old Testament that was prophetic about what Christ would say when he was on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you go back and you find the same writings about it in being fulfilled in Christ in Psalm 22. So as we go through these Old Testament books here, we're going to point out some people, we'll point out places, we'll point out things that serve as types or typology. Matter of fact, we were reading the other night in our devotional time, I had read enough, he was reading through the book of Exodus, and I said, hey, stop, what chapter are you in? I think it was chapter 23, Exodus. And we're reading about how God tells the children of Israel he's going to send his angel and they will go before him. And the word angel is a capital A, which is a theophany of Jesus Christ. I didn't have that one written down yet. So she was reading it. And that's why I let her read the scripture so I can just lay there and listen and visualize what's happening. She has an when she's at home, she reads with her Alexander Scorby voice, you know. No, she doesn't. But she has a nice voice, all right? We're also going to see as we go through that there are names that have meanings of Christ in them through the Old Testament. And there's going to be areas of passages and words and phrases that Jesus, as I said in Psalm 22, personally used in the New Testament, showing that he was back here and they talked about it. That's why he took them all the way back here and said, all of these things that happened, we're back here. And that gets me to thinking. I wonder how many things that one of these days the Lord is going to reveal. He's going to open our eyes of things we've been reading through on our through the Bible in a year, whatever it is. How many of you have ever done having an own personal devotion time and all of a sudden it seems like something just pops out to you? And the Lord reveals that to you. I've read that before and I never saw that.
Where'd it come from?
Yeah. And it's the Lord bringing these things. I think there's a lot more here than what we think that we have not seen. I might even go to the level of saying there are things that in there that we have never thought through that this is speaking of Christ more than the ones that we have seen that we think this is speaking of Christ. I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us and that we will see some things here that I hope will be a blessing and a help in us seeing greater truths about Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, I got to say this too, because this is kind of an introduction today. But I was preparing and finishing up the message today for the Sunday morning service, and I started thinking, okay, we got Mother's Day coming up. I got some things, holidays that we always celebrate little messages for. So what do I want to be thinking about? And the Lord laid something on my heart. I don't know if I'm going to do it yet. So we're bringing a study here on Christ in the Old Testament, and I was going through some of my old Bible college stuff, and I started reading through the life of Christ. That was one of my favorite studies. And I think, well, should I do the life of Christ in the morning and then Christ in the Old Testament in the afternoon? One's a.m., one's p.m., right? One's Old Testament, one's New Testament. I don't know. We'll see. Notice what it says here, that he expounded. It says that Jesus expounded unto them the scriptures concerning himself. And I'm praying that God through his Spirit will expound unto us the scriptures. Now notice what the word expound means. It means to, what was Jesus doing? He calls them that they were fools and slow of heart, and he begins to expound unto them the scriptures. The word expound in the Greek means to unfold the meaning of. They had read it, but they didn't understand it. And Jesus begins to unfold the meaning. It means that he was taking time to thoroughly explain to them things that they had not seen or had missed for a long, long time. The word scripture is found in the New Testament 31 times. It says that he had expounded unto them the scripture. Or the scriptures. The word scripture is found 31 times in the New Testament. The word scriptures is found 21 times. So 52 times the word scripture or scriptures is found in the New Testament. You could actually read a verse and meditate on one verse just on dealing with scripture or scriptures every week of the year, 52 weeks. It's only found one time in the Old Testament. Listen to some of them here. And the scripture was fulfilled. Hath not the scripture said? The scripture cannot be broken. For the scripture saith. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? And then the one time is in Daniel 10:21. And he calls it, Daniel calls it, the scripture of truth. That sounds like a good name for a radio Bible cast, amen? The scripture of truth, Bible hour, right? Tune in next week, all right? So I wanted us to take and consider these things. And let's take and listen to what Jesus told these people. And he says that he began to expound to them the scriptures, beginning with who was it again? Where did he begin with them at? Huh? With Moses. And we know that Moses wrote 5 books of the Bible. So let's go all the way back. Some of this is going to be like, yeah, we know this. I understand that, but it's going to be good. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 in your Bible. And we're going to find out, I think, where Jesus began with them at. Genesis chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible, is where he began to reveal himself to them. And he begins here in not just Genesis chapter 1, but the very first verse. Look what it says in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. What did he do? He created the heaven and the earth. I believe as they were walking on the road to Emmaus and he began to expound to them, he was expounding unto them that I am God, the Creator. That's where it all has to begin. If God is not the Creator, he is not our God.
That's right.
So Genesis 1:1 is Christ is the Creator who, listen, created the heavens and the earth by his word. Now, how many of you knew that already? Say amen.
Amen.
No question. There's going to be some things that we're going to look at that you're going to say, I remember that, I know that. But I want you to go with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, And we're going to verify even more so some of these things that you're going to say, I already knew this too. That's great. That's what we want to know. There were some things that they knew, but also things they needed to have expounded. In John chapter 1, to verify the Old Testament was revealing Christ in the New Testament, we read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look at all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Then you jump to verse 14, and it says in verse 14, and the Word that was back in the beginning with God was made what, everybody? Christ became flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the very first book, the very first verse, Jesus says, that's where you start right there. There I am. It's talking about me. It's about me. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Flip over. And I'm in no rush to get through all of these things here. And wherever we run out of time, that's where I'll stop. We'll pick up next week on. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse number 16. As the Creator God, He says in verse 16, for by Him, talking about Jesus, were all things created. Where at? In heaven and are in earth. Visible, things that you and I can see. Invisible, things that you and I cannot see, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. All of the essence of verse 1, chapter 1, is fulfilling John's gospel. It is fulfilling of the area here of Paul writing the church at Colossae. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews 1, it says in verse number 1, God, who at sundry times in diverse or various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, the Old Testament teachers, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, watch, by whom also He made the worlds. So even Hebrews is pointing back. Jesus is saying, let me take you back to Moses and let me show you that all those things in the Old Testament have to do with me. Me. So we see Christ is the Creator who created the heaven and the earth. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 1 again. Let's look at another one. In Genesis chapter 1, we go down just a couple of verses to verse number 4. And by the way, I want to say right now, I probably will not cover everyone because there's probably ones that I haven't come across yet. Okay? But if you come across one that after I get down past that book and you find something in your own studies, say, hey, you must miss something right in here because right here's one. Feel free to bring it. We'll look at it. Verse number 4. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis 1, verse 4, God, it says, divided the light from the darkness. Now, what does that have to do with Christ? As soon as Christ, who, by the way, is the, listen, the light of the world, correct? As soon as the light of the world, according to John 8:12, begins to shine in the heart of a new believer who's in darkness, he begins an inner dividing work. That inner dividing work that he begins to do on the inside as the light enters and it drives out the darkness, it will begin to manifest itself also outwardly and to the extent that it will even divide Christians from non-Christians. Those who are the children of light from those who are the children of darkness. Jesus could go back to here and begin to expound unto them in this area. Listen to what it says. And by the way, that's how the scriptures, that's how the Bible has to work. When I got saved, I remember this. This was very important to me to not only know that this was what people did for me, but that I do this for people. When I got saved, I still had an old nature, right? And so when I came to church for the first time, I had really long hair. The Bible teaches that it's a shame for what? A man to have long hair. And so my preacher never got up and said, you need to get a haircut. He never tried to, publicly or privately. He just preached the word, which is light. And the light began to penetrate, and the light began to do its own dividing inwardly, which took care of things outwardly. That's exactly what happens here. When he brought the light in, it began to drive away, and it divided the day from the night. Look what it says here. Jesus says this in Luke 12:51. Jesus says this to the people. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Division. Light brings division. He goes on to say in John chapter 7 in verse 43, it says, so there was a division, listen, among the people because of him. Because of him. As in the very beginning of Genesis 1:4, division always follows when true light appears. Yeah. Folks, understand that some division is from God. So as he's expounding unto them the scriptures concerning himself, he could have easily come back here to Genesis 1:1, continued on in Genesis 1:4. Now look at verse 16, back in Genesis. We've got a few more minutes here. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. The Bible says here the sun is being the greater light, correct? It's this creation. It's the one that will rule the day, which means the moon is going to be the lesser light that will rule the night. I believe when we look at this, it speaks of Christ and his relationship with the New Testament church. I said, wow, you're getting that out of there? The moon, the lesser light, reflects the sun, the greater light. Correct? If the greater light is Christ, what is the Christian supposed to be doing? Reflecting as the lesser light. The Bible clearly shows that the moon reflects to the earth, the greater light of the sun. And so the church, you and I, are to reflect the greater life, light of Christ to the world. Thus, we become the lesser light ourselves, reflecting Jesus Christ. Flip over, if you would, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We kind of already alluded to this one already. And verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Christ himself declares that he is the light of the world. He is the greater light. In Matthew now, flip over to Matthew chapter 5. We're in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. And we're in the Beatitudes. In verse 14, Jesus is speaking. And listen to what he says to the disciples. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So you and I, as the lesser lights, are to be reflecting Jesus Christ, who is reflecting. He is the light of the world, but we are the light of the world. According to him, we have the greater light. We have the lesser light doing exactly what we should be doing, shining forth Jesus Christ in us and through us. Anybody with me on this? Maybe I'm off track here. You remember a few weeks ago I told you I was going to be teaching this, didn't I? And I said that there may be some, anybody remember? There might be some heresy in it.
Heresy.
Correct? And to see if you would embrace it or catch it.
That's a division.
Yeah.
Well, so lesser light of the moon is just a reflection of the greater light. So anything that we reflect is just a reflection of Jesus. That's not.
So you think this is correct?
Yeah.
I'm with you. Now, everybody else may forsake us, but that's all right. He came to cause division, did he not?
A hairy tick is a little bug. It's a bloodsucker. A hair.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, you gotta keep your day job, all right, here? All right, let me see if we can do one more here. We'll see if we can finish early today before 1:15 and get you out of here to get your pictures done. So we see him as a creator. We see him as a divider of driving out the darkness. Look at verse 27, back in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 27. Well, we'll go back to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let man them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now watch, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So verse 27 shows, so God created man. Look what it says, in his own image, in the image of God created he them. So the fact that God made the first man, which would be who, everybody? Adam. He made Adam in his own image. Are y'all agreed on that? Adam is at this point in time representing the human race. Would you all agree with that? Yes. He's representing the entire human race. And in chapter 3, they sin. Correct? They are sin, and they lose the image of God. They were created in his image. Then they sin and lose the image of God. Later, matter of fact, flip over to Genesis 5. And later we see when they have a son that is born unto them. Notice what the Holy Spirit records in chapter 5 and verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Adam was created in the image of God. Chapter 3, they sin. Chapter 5, they have a son, and the son is created in Adam's image. No man, I want you to let this sink in, no man is born into the image of God until Jesus Christ. That says he was born in the express image, the exact identical person. Hebrews 1:3 clarifies that. Listen to what, we'll flip over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. In Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So no man is born in God's image until Jesus Christ is born. And the Bible declares that he is the express image of God. Here, Paul reminds us that now there's something else taking place in Colossians 3:10. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it speaks of Satan, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, there's that light, of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Christ is now the image of God, and he's shining unto those who are in darkness. Hebrews 1:3 talks about the express image of God. So Christ, understand now, so Christ is the last Adam. Matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So the Christ, since Christ is the last Adam, it is typified by the first Adam. And this is going to get into some really interesting thoughts here, guys. Because the only way for a man now to become a part of the image of God like the first Adam is that he must be born again.
Right.
So Christ is the first Adam. This Adam was a living soul. This Adam was a quickening spirit. And the only way for men to have God's image today is that they must be born of his spirit.
Quickening.
Now we're going to stop here today because we have stuff to do, or else I'd continue on. Because this is all building on something here in Genesis. It's going to get into some things that is like, you got to be kidding me. So we're going to stop in Genesis chapter 1. We will pick up next week in Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look at this seventh day rest. How does that picture Christ? And he rested on the seventh day. As Jesus is walking and expounding, he would take them to Genesis 2, talk about the Sabbath, and the Sabbath pictured him. How? We'll be looking at that next week. Unless you all want to come back in here after pictures, all right? I mean, as we get into this, there's going to be some things like, this is really wild, some of the things that we see here. Let's stop here. We're going to close in prayer, and I don't know how we're going to do it. We're going to be meeting right out here in the foyer on that little bench. We may have to pull it out if you've got a bigger family, but we don't want to waste any time, so let's encourage all the single picture people, all right? Jerry and Carl and John and whoever else, Rita, Vonda, that's a lot of them. Go first, and then we'll keep going through. So get in there, get your smile on your face, look pretty, pinch your cheeks so they're nice and pink, you know, and we'll get through there. So let's pray. Our Father, we love you. We pray, Father, that you'd help us through your Spirit to understand things that would enlighten us to have a better knowledge of who you are in the Old Testament. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. And may it challenge us, may it encourage us, may it even excite us about what we're going to be learning about this one who took time to open and to explain clearly on the road to Emmaus those who were slow of heart of understanding. And we just pray that you will receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.